Welcome. For those who don't know me, my name is Shania Jenkins, and I work here in the office during the week, and I have the privilege to share God's word with you this morning. But before we begin, let us pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you for the gift of your word and the privilege that I have to share it today. Lord, I pray that as we open our ears and hearts to you this morning, that your words and messages may shine through. Lord, I ask that it may not be my words spoken this morning, but your words through me. I pray all of this in your almighty name. Amen. So we've been talking about promises this morning, as Heather's shared a lovely verse with us this morning. So I'm going to share some other verses that you guys should all probably know. So Romans 8, 28 says, "We know that in all things God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose." Jeremiah 29:11 says, "For I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you a hope and a future." 2 Peter 1 verse 4 says, "Through these he has given us his very great and precious promises, so that through them you may participate in the divine nature, having escaped the corruption in the world caused by evildoers." These are just some of the verses that are witness to just how faithful our God is, just how loving our God is. He has given us many, many promises like this. It's all in the Bible. Read it if you haven't. They are promises that can be held onto when we're going through tough times. When a friend is going through a hard time, we remind them of these promises. We say to them, "God loves you. It says so in the Bible. Just read it." And this is what we remind them, and then they do the same back to us. I'm sure we all have those friends that love to remind us just how much God loves us. But oh, so often, this is all they do. They remind us of God's promises and then believe us, believing they have done us a world of good. It's not false. They have indeed done us a world of good. They've done something amazing. They've shared God's word with us and God's love with us. But all too often, they fail to offer us the physical or emotional support alongside the promises that God has given us in the Bible. Think about this. Have you ever asked yourself, how can anything good come from this illness? I mean, it says so in the Bible, God can cure anything, but how can anything good come from this? How can anything good come from this death? There is eternal life with God, which is a good promise, but how can anything good come from this death? How can anything good come from this life that I live? I'm doing good, but I don't feel that I'm getting good back. How can anything good possibly come to me? I'm not that important, am I? Surely. How can I really hold on to God's promises alongside this disaster or tragedy that's happened in my life? I'm going to tell you a story that you've all probably heard before, but we're going to revisit it today. It's the story of Job. So long ago in the land of Uz, there lived a man named Job. Job was a very good man. He was like the best bro that you could ever have. He loved God. He refused to do any wrong. He was honorable and he was rich. Everyone wanted to be Job's friend. Job had thousands of sheep. Just like imagine this, guys, thousands of sheep. He had thousands of sheep, camels, oxen, and donkeys. He had many, many servants. He also had 10 wonderful children. Well, wonderful most of the time, I'm sure. Job was the greatest man in the land. Everything in his life went smoothly. But Satan took notice of this. He complained to God about Job. He only serves you because you give him so many blessings. If you take away these blessings, then he will curse you right to your face. God then told Satan to do with Job as he pleased, but on one condition: he could not harm Job. Satan slunk away, devising a devilish plan to make Job turn against God. So one day, as Job was simply enjoying life, a servant ran up breathless with devastating news. All the oxen and donkeys were stolen by an invading force, and the servants were killed. I barely escaped. Right as Job was hearing this, another servant ran up. A huge fire came and burnt up all the sheep and killed all the servants. The servant had barely finished when another servant came up with the most horrible news of all. Job, your children were having a feast together when a terrible wind destroyed the house. Your children are all dead. In an instant, Job had lost everything. His wealth, and most importantly, he'd lost his family. The grief was so painful that Job tore his clothes. He shaved his head and he fell on the ground. Satan thought Job was going to be mad at God. But instead, Job worshipped God. The Lord gave me everything, and he has the right to take it away. I will still praise God, Job said. Satan then asked God if he could make Job sick. Satan was sure that Job would then curse God. God told Satan that he could continue with his plan, but on one condition: he was not allowed to kill Job. Just then, Job broke out in sores over his entire body. He became very, very, very ill. The pain from the itching was so unbearable that he took broken pieces of pottery to scratch the sores. Job's wife was no help at all. She came up to her husband and growled, "You're still trying to do good? Just curse God and die." But Job did not do this. He continued to worship God. Even Job's friends turned against him. They thought that Job must have sinned for God to punish him like this. They were all trying to give him advice, tell him what to do. I'm sure we have those friends, right, guys? But instead of helping Job and just praying for him, they criticized him. Through all this, Job did not sin. He continued to trust and worship God. Job did start to lose heart. He did not understand why God would allow these things to happen to him. So God spoke with Job and explained to him that as God, he created Job and everything in existence. As God, no one had the right to question him or his decisions, even though it may not make sense. God was trying to show Job a very valuable lesson. And Job responded in the only way possible. He worshipped and repented. Imagine that you are Job. You have just lost everything. You have lost your job. You have lost your wealth. You have lost everything you've worked for. You've lost your family. How can Job go through all this tragedy and still hold on to God's promises for good and hope? How can he still worship God? What does Job have that I don't? What does Job have that you are missing out on? Imagine the person next to you is Job. How easy would it be to do and say the same things that Job's friends did? Just give him advice and tell him what to do. I know how easy it is to say to someone going through trials, it's going to be all right, God has a plan. And he does have a plan. But very rarely does any practical support come alongside that promise. Are you like Job's wife, perhaps? Have you grown up hearing about God's faithfulness and love, but not really knowing what it means for her life? Are you like Job's wife, not knowing how to apply it when life gets hard? Are you like Job's wife and you don't have a strong foundation in Christ and what it means? If that's you, let me suggest something to you today. You need a spiritual refreshing. You need to remember what it was first like when you first met God, the hunger you felt and the longing to know him more. That is what you need to have a strong foundational, spiritual foundation in God. You may need that again. If that is you, what are you going to do about it? You need to read your Bible not just as a spiritual discipline, but as viewing it as something that can change your life. Viewing it as, how does this verse apply in my life today? Talking about it with those around you. There's a room full of people here who most of you will know God. Most of you have walked a long journey with God. Everyone here is here for each other. Maybe you are Job's friends. We think we know best, but we question God. God, it would be so much better if this happened. It would be so much better if you just let me do this. No, God, I don't want to do that. This is not right for me right now. Are you like Job's friends? Let me suggest to you that if you're Job's friends, let me suggest to you today that you may need to surround yourself with a different group of people. Just like we are what we eat, we become who we hang out with. If we hang out with people that are the people in this room, the people that have walked a journey alongside God, don't you think that they will support and encourage you in the right way? Do your friends pray for you? Do you have a spiritual buddy? Who is the person that you can go to when you're reading a Bible verse and you want someone to talk to? We need to learn to be better friends to those around us. We just can't say, come up to someone and ask them, oh, how's your day been? And respond with, oh, it's going good, when the reality is it is not. We need to be better friends by admitting the truth to those around us and also being able to support those around us. Do you know the promises that God has for you? When someone's going through something, can you pull out a Bible verse and demonstrate how to apply it in their life? There is books, there is resources, there's people in this room who can do that. But is that you? Church, as a family, this is what we need to be about. We need to be about being honest with one another and encouraging one another through these trials. Who is your spiritual buddy that you can talk to? Who is that friend that can pray alongside you? If you don't have someone, there is over 100 people in this room, I'm sure, that would be happy to do that for you. Who can you help through trouble today? As a church, we need to be an intricate support system that encourages and supports one another? Are we being honest with each other? Are we just putting on a Sunday smile for everyone in this room? Are we asking for the support that God wants us to have? Are we being good friends, or are we like Job's friends that think we know best? If you are here today and you are going through a hard time, there are people here who would love to pray with you. Just come to the front of the service and someone will come and pray with you. Second Peter 1 verse 4 says, through these he has given us his very great and precious promises, so that you may participate in the divine nature, having escaped the corruption in the world caused by evildoers. There needs to be a change. We need to go against what the world says, and instead of just going through our day-to-day life, we need to meet with one another. We need to encourage one another. We need to pray and talk with each other, not just about the good times, but also the things that we are struggling with. It is so easy to say, I'm fine, and then go back to our life. God demonstrates a love that we need to have for one another, and that love can only be shown through honesty and an openness. Who can you help through trouble today? When you ask yourself the questions that I talked about before, how can anything good come from this illness? How can anything good come from this death? How can anything good come to me? We just need to turn to the Bible to see that it is filled with promises of hope. Jesus died on the cross for us. He took our sins upon his shoulders so that we may live eternal life with him, a life that is filled with hope, of love, of forgiveness, of no pain, no tears, and no tears. That is the life that we all want to live, right? All you need to do is read your Bible, not just as a spiritual discipline, but as something that can change your life. Let us pray. Lord, I thank you for everyone here. I thank you for the openness that they have to learn more about you. Lord, I pray that as we go out into our week, that we will go against the world. We will demonstrate a love that is greater than anything that anyone has ever seen. Lord, I pray for a change in heart and in mind of those here today, that we may go out and so that we will be filled with your Holy Spirit to do good deeds in your name. Lord, I pray that there'll be a new refreshing among everyone here today, a new longing, something that they felt at the beginning. Lord, I pray that there'll be a hunger to know more about you in this church and in this community. Lord, I pray all of this in your almighty name. Amen.